Dan, I got to tell you, last week's episode is still on my mind.
Yeah, it's still on mine too. I still have questions. I'm thinking about.
Well, why it's still on my mind is because there is something bugging me. What's happening. Something is bugging me.
So well, there's something bugging you, isn't there?
So we were talking about Dan's new product, where he obtained a USDA certification to mail mini firewood through the U.S. mail across state lines, because that's one of the requirements to protect us in our forests from invasive species, from bugs. And you had talked about, what was it, kiln drying and?
Heat treating. Yes.
Okay. And we knew just about enough to let everyone know that we didn't know what we were talking about.
As usual. And yes.
So we had reached out to an organization, and they graciously accepted to sit down with us, because they have an expertise with bugs and invasive species and firewood. So what I would like to do is introduce all of our listeners to Laurel Downs from the Nature Conservancy. She is the program coordinator for a very popular campaign called Don't Move Firewood. Laurel, how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful today. Thank you. How about you guys?
I know I'm doing good. Dan, how about you?
I'm doing great, because I have a feeling that you will be able to answer some of the questions I have regarding moving firewood.
And yeah, I sure hope so.
Bugs. Yeah. There is this problem has been bugging me, you know. Laurel, I am here in Ohio. Dan is in Wisconsin, and I can speak for Ohio that our state has just been devastated by an invasive species known as the emerald ash borer. I doubt you could find a live ash tree right now in our state. So the mission about protecting our forests from invasive species is very real. This isn't made up, and this isn't just some think tank somewhere trying to find a problem to solve. This is for real.
Yeah, it's a huge issue. Emerald ash borer is probably the most notorious of the invasive forest pests in the United States right now, just because it has had such a big impact on our ash trees. It has about anywhere from 88 to like a 95% mortality rate within 4 to 10 years of reaching an area for ash trees, unfortunately. So any neighborhood that gets it, you know, notices pretty quickly the damage it does. And it's in about 35 states now, 35 or 36 states in the United States. And they think that the primary way that it moves so far so fast is actually through the movement of firewood, unfortunately. So
no kidding. Firewood.
Yep.
Ooh, that's not good. Well, it's good and not good.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big reason that our campaign started. So, you know, our whole shtick really is to just spread awareness on this and educate folks that, you know, there's different practices that you can do to really limit that risk. And one of them is to just buy and burn firewood locally. Simple as that, you know. So if you're going camping a few states over and you got an RV, you know, I know it's real convenient to just pack up whatever firewood you have in your backyard, but that seems to be, you know, where the risk lies. So we just tell people, you know, just get it near your campsite, get it as close as you can. So it's usually, you know, buy where you burn it, gather on site responsibly if you're permitted to do that, or buy certified heat treated firewood, which Dan, I know you're familiar with.
Yes. Yep.
And so unfortunately that's not sold everywhere. It's really mostly in the region of the United States where this has been a problem for so long. And, you know, it can be a little bit more expensive, but that is the only firewood that is actually safe and legal to travel, you know, across any state lines pretty much. And the whole firewood regulation arena is very confusing. And so part of my job is to try to you know, give that context with whoever I'm talking about. We have on our website a big firewood map, and people can go on there and click whatever state they're in or whatever state they're going to and find out exactly what the regulations are in those areas. So,
Laurel, what is it about firewood and not other types of wood products? I am sure that invasive species can move and migrate on their own through the wind, I guess. But, you know, what is it specific about firewood that creates this problem with bugs and getting them moved around the country?
So firewood, you know, it's the human movement element. So you're correct in that bugs do move on their own, especially those that have little wings and fly. But in their lifetime, they don't move more than a couple miles. The problem lies where people, you know, like I said, pack up their firewood in the back of the yard, whatever trees they cut down recently, or, you know, and put it in the back of their pickup truck and then drive it, you know, 300-400 miles across state lines. We really try to emphasize the importance of keeping firewood within about 50 miles of where it's sourced. So that kind of contains any potential infestations to a smaller area, and it gives the chance for your forest health professionals and regulators to have the chance to contain those infestations as well.
Yeah, that was going to be my question, is if there was like a radius as far as like how far, I know state lines is a big deal, but kind of like a radius of, and you mentioned 50 miles.
Yeah, that's just generally what we say. It really, again, depends on where you are. So everyone's familiar with the word quarantine. It probably, like, you know, brings back memories of COVID and all of that. But quarantine is the legal terminology for what they do regulations-wise, is when they do find an infestation, what they'll do either federally or state governments will set up a quarantine. And so basically what they're trying to do is determine, okay, how bad is this infestation? Where is it? Let's draw lines around where we think it is. And then make sure that nobody is bringing wood that is potentially infested with this pest out of this area. So that would be an interior quarantine. Nothing is allowed outside of this quarantine area. An exterior quarantine is when, so Pennsylvania has an exterior quarantine, for example. I'm from Pennsylvania. And basically it's saying, like, okay, if you're coming into Pennsylvania, the firewood needs to be treated XYZ. You know, if for Pennsylvania, it's any level of heat treatment. Other states are more strict. So New York, for instance, has some of the strictest rules of anyone. They have an exterior quarantine to the highest degree. So the firewood needs to be treated to, I think it's 75 degrees for 75 minutes, 75 degrees Celsius. And if you want to move firewood within the state, they also have an interior quarantine. That firewood legally cannot be moved 50 miles from its source. Other places like Wisconsin, Dan, you're from Wisconsin, they have what they call a permanent rule. So any state properties, firewood cannot legally be moved from more than 10 miles from where it's sourced onto those campsites and campgrounds and government properties. So really, it can get very confusing. You know, like I said, even just the terminology quarantines, people are thinking other things right out the gate. And then, you know, it gets very specific where you are and what type of quarantines you're dealing with.
Yeah. And then what about like logs, like a logger, like not firewood? So like a product, like, you know, a logging company cuts down a load of logs and the driver takes it somewhere else.
Yeah, so that's something we see all the time. Like on our social media posts, people are immediately like, what about these loggers? And they actually have their own rules, you know, and regulations that they have to follow. A lot of times firewood is specific, and in the legal language, it'll be talking about, you know, logs cut 4 feet or shorter, and they'll be specifically talking about firewood, but they'll have other rules for, you know, commercial logging and stuff like that. So it just kind of gets into the nitty gritty of the legality and everything. But typically those commercial loggers or whatever they're doing with that firewood, they have their own permits and, you know, rules that they're following, and they're only moving it this far, or they're moving it to a certain place and then getting it, you know, treated and however.
That is a reality that I see out here in Ohio. Now, I live right on the border of Pennsylvania, which I know is very strict. You know, so I cannot take my naturally seasoned firewood into Pennsylvania from Ohio. But that's what I see. A lot of these logging trucks are driving, you know, right from Ohio to Pennsylvania or from Pennsylvania into Ohio. So I guess, you know, it's just interesting to me that once that's made into firewood, then now I can't move it.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. But like I said, so a lot of times those commercial, like businesses, whatever, will have an agreement with the plant regulator of Pennsylvania or wherever they're taking it to. And they'll say, like, they'll have a plan for that wood. In other words, like, they know that it can't be sitting out for however long, or they're going directly from A to B, and then they're doing this with the wood. And it's all written out in these agreements, and just, you know, trying to limit those risks. But I understand the frustration. People see that, you know, and they're just like, what's going on over there? How is any bugs not coming out of there? So, yeah.
That's right. So I was, before we started this interview, I was just tinkering around and I was searching, and there is a very sad trail of trees that have been just either wiped out or severely compromised by invasive species. And, you know, I'm talking like the American chestnut, the elm tree, certainly the ash. I was recently out west in Colorado with that large beetle kill pine population out there. So are there, I guess the invasive species started because of globalization or just the way that we travel now. These bugs will hitchhike. They get into a new ecosystem where there's no predator, you know, like maybe walk us through the evolution of the emerald ash borer and how that started and why it's become a problem for us.
Yeah, sure. So emerald ash borer popped up in Michigan in the early 2000s. I can't recall the exact year right now, but, and it wasn't noticed until it was already established, and that's another problem. But then it quickly spread, and we do think it was on firewood, but what they, how they think it was introduced was actually on wood pallets. So that is like the globalization problem there. And so now we do have a lot of regulations about wood pallets and other packaging materials, especially made out of wood, moving from country to country, entering the United States anywhere, exiting Canada has their own rules. Everybody pretty much has their own rules. But it's really to prevent exactly that. And it's not always wood. So for instance, I don't know if you've heard of spotted lanternfly, but that's kind of the new hot topic in the world of invasive forest pests. We have it really bad in Pennsylvania. And Pennsylvania where it was first introduced. And they actually think that was brought on big like slates, you know, rocks, landscaping materials, because that insect just will lay its eggs on anything, and it blends in really well with things like wood, but also especially rocks, because it's kind of this gray and it just looks like a slab of mud. And you know, so it depends on the insect, it depends on, you know, its life history, you know, it's basically just means like its eggs and the times its eggs hatch to what it looks like as a baby bug, you know, a nymph, and then as it gets into that older adult insect, like just each one of those life stages presents different risks of how it can be a hitchhiker pest. And so you know, again, it just becomes down to the specifics of which one you're talking about, but they do have a lot more rules nowadays because of globalization about, you know, the different fumigation or heat treatment measures or all that good stuff as far as like packaging material and what we're getting from overseas. Because you're right, what happens is that insect or that invasive species typically does not have any natural predators over here, or at least no natural predators that have caught on yet that this is a potential prey item. And also it will just be, you know, going to town on a new niche, you know, like it'll have, well, with the spotted lanternfly, for instance, we have the tree of heaven, and that was native to where that insect is native, which is in China. And so it already had its food item of choice, and now it's discovering all these new food items of choice, you know, our orchards, our grapes, all these things that all our farmers are worried about. And it's just kind of going wild. And so that's what happens. And actually, it's only a small percentage of the introduced species actually turn into what we call an invasive species, which is, I'm not going to get the exact definition right off the top of my head, but essentially it's something that is going to cause great harm either environmentally or to human health. And that's kind of what we consider an invasive species. But there are a lot of introduced species that don't end up establishing to begin with, or even end up being an actual problem for our natural or agricultural resources. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, so in Wisconsin here, for the I guess the spongy moth, or Gypsy Moth, I think it was originally called. That's like one of the big species insects that, you know, we need to safeguard against. But for the certification to be able to move the wood across state lines, there's two options. You can heat treat it. I believe it's to 140 degrees for 60 minutes, or you can have your wood seasoned for 2 years. So what is it about letting your wood sit that then eliminates that threat of, you know, the spongy moth?
So for the spongy moth, they changed it its name because the history of the other name is not so great for a group of people. But also the new name represents what its eggs look like. So its eggs look like that orange little, like kind of a sponge, you know? And so its eggs are going to hatch in a certain period of time, and the caterpillars are going to survive for a certain period of time, and then they're going to move on to those next stages of their life history, like I was talking about early. So for 2 years, I mean, I actually haven't heard that rule. I only knew about the heat treatment, so I'm learning stuff too today. But I would imagine it's because within that 2 year time frame, that insect can go through the whole life history, and then if you're seizing it in a way that it's, you know, staying away from. So actually, you tell me, seasoning, is that you're keeping it covered or anything like that, or it's literally just sitting out?
So it's cut down and split and then sitting and like drying, basically. So right. That's okay. What I was wondering is if the spongy moth like prefers live trees to lay its eggs on, and then that's why if a piece of firewood has been seasoned or dried out, that's no longer a target for the moth.
Yeah. So that's exactly what I would think. I would think that the eggs would have hatched, the caterpillars and adults moved on in that time period, and then the adults that are laying eggs are going to be looking for trees that then their caterpillars are going to hatch and actually feed on. So if there's nothing for those caterpillars to feed on with that wood, you know. But that's, yeah, that's new. I haven't heard of that. I only knew about the heat treatment, so that's interesting.
That is. So the heat treating now, that is just an effective way of killing any bug or any eggs or anything that's on the wood.
On or in, correct. Yeah. So there's three different heat treatment standards that are accepted by different states and different rules, different pests. And so the strictest is what the Emerald Ash Borer used to be held to. And now the second strictest is what the spongy moth is held to, what you were just talking about there. And so even within the different pests, you know, it's going to, again, rely on those different quarantines and what specific standard they're asking you to meet. The only thing is, so I think spongy moth is the only one that we have going right now. They dropped the Emerald Ash Borer federal domestic quarantine on that. So we used to have all of the states that had a known infestation of Emerald Ash Borer, like if you could not move firewood out of those areas unless it was heat treated to that highest standard. They dropped that in early 2021. And so now a lot of states have picked up their own state-based quarantines that are holding it either to that standard or the spongy moth standard, because I believe both of them actually do a good job of killing Emerald Ash Borer. But yeah, they'll pick whatever they think is the safest heat treatment standard, depending on the specific quarantine you're talking about, and go with that.
So I was over on your website, and I know you have listed there the invasive species, and I was actually surprised at how many species there are, how many insects and just things listed. I mean, like for me, I'm, you know, Emerald Ash Borer, spongy moth, you know, oak wilt, that's about it. But when I looked at that page, there's a lot of different bugs and beetles and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, there are. And, you know, not all of the ones we have on our site are known to be carried to one place to another on firewood. But a lot of them are. And actually, firewood, unfortunately, can just be a vector for so many problems for forest health, and not even just invasive species. Some native species we have to the United States can travel on. I think you mentioned the pine issues out west. So mountain pine beetle is native to a lot of those western states. But it doesn't mean that you want to be spreading those problems around, quite frankly. Right. Southern pine beetle is another one, you know. So, you know, just because it's native in one area doesn't mean that it's not going to be a problem if it's moved up the road a bit. So Other, we talked about emerald ash borer, spongy moth. Another big one to think about in the United States is Asian longhorn beetle. That's a really big problem. They attack many different species of trees. Maples is a big one. And we have a few different places that are quarantined for that. The most recent is in South Carolina. Ohio actually has some areas under quarantine for that. New York.
I saw that.
Yeah, even Massachusetts. So it's just, and it's a huge beetle. And it, I mean, like the adult is like 2 inches long and it's really cool. I actually love bugs. That's the thing. A lot of yourself professionals, you know, and entomologists, like we love these creatures. Like we don't want them around, you know, they're a problem for our forest, but they're really cool. Some of them. And, you know, it's just, it's one of those things you got to think about. It's like, it's not their fault. It's not none of these bugs. They didn't ask to be here. You know, they just, they're just living their lives. And now they're like, hi, you got a whole bunch of new stuff to feed on.
And that's the shame of it, Laurel, about the emerald ash borer. I just think it's a beautiful bug. If you've ever seen one, they are literally emerald. It's like a metallic little green lightning bug. And boy, are they just gorgeous to look at, but man, they've wreaked havoc on my state. Gee whiz. All right.
They're beautiful.
Okay, so guys, I want to remind everyone that we are talking with Laurel Downs. She works for the Nature Conservancy, which is a nonprofit, and she is the program coordinator for their national Don't Move Firewood campaign. And we've mentioned her website a number of times. It's don'tmovefirewood.com. And I'm going to encourage all the woodhounds out there to check out this website because it is filled with information. There is a lot in that, Laurel. And I really do think that you guys have a lot to be proud of with how informative that is. But like the little things, I really love like your font choice and just the design of it. It's just an inviting, you know, because you're talking about maybe some scientific stuff and, you know, other things with regulations, and that can be intimidating. But just the way that you have that whole things set up, you know, it's kind of got like a cartoon kind of a feel to it. It's inviting. It's good for anyone that wants to read it. And it's just easy to navigate. So tell whoever your IT guy is, and Dan is our local IT nerd here with the Woodhounds. So he's taught me about how to pay attention to all this stuff. But tell us more about your Don't Move Firewood campaign.
Sure. So yeah, it's actually don'tmovefirewood.org because we are a nonprofit. As the Nature Conservancy is a nonprofit organization, and this is a strictly educational outreach campaign. We're not out to make money on any of this. You know, we get funded from the USDA APHIS, which is our, you know, big federal regulators on all this stuff. And they're the ones that are, you know, supporting this campaign, this educational outreach to just, again, just let people know the problems. And I think our goal is to really not scare people. You know, there's a lot of doom and gloom around environmental issues, climate change, all that good stuff, not good stuff. And I think one of our goals is to really, you know, make people feel like they can actually make a difference because you can. And I know that it can sound negative, like don't move firewood, don't do this. And that's why we try to, you know, pair that message with like a buy local, you know, burn it where you buy it, that stuff. Because those best practice messages is where, you know, simple things, simple steps can actually make a serious difference in our forest health, in our agriculture, in a lot of people's lives. And so that's mainly where we're coming from. And of course, you know, the regulations, that is something that we want people to be aware of course, because, you know, you can actually get in trouble for, you know, moving firewood in different places. But that's, you know, at the end of the day, we're not trying to scare people with that sort of things. We're just trying to make them, you know, have those tools at their disposal. You know, if you want to know the regulations in this area, if you know you're traveling here, you know, you're traveling there, like, yeah, that's important information to have at the end of the day. I think just having those tools and being able to realize like, oh, not only can I save space in the back of my truck, but I could potentially save an entire forest. That's pretty powerful. You know, just simply just by getting my firewood as close to my campsite as I can get it.
Sure.
And also on your website, you do list places in each state where like firewood is available, right? I think that's part of it.
Well, not quite. So If we tried to do that, that would be quite an undertaking. It's already an undertaking just trying to figure out what rules are what, because we do all of Canada, all the United States, and just trying to keep all that straight.
I'm sorry. It's the map is to show the regulations in that that state. Yep. Okay.
The map is to show if there's regulations. We'll try to put that, you know, in the simplest terms we can, just to, again, try to avoid some of that inevitable confusion. Even if there's not regulations, you know, we'll talk about the pests of concern in that state. If there are, you know, invasive species that are already introduced there, you know, what they are, why they're a problem, or what pests are potentially going to be a problem if they are introduced, and why it's so important not to bring firewood into that state or that area. And then, you know, we might give some examples of some major campgrounds. Say there's a major national forest there, national park, state parklands, you know, if they have any rules or recommendations, we like to communicate that. So we work a lot with our partners. So we work a lot with other forest health professionals, with the state folks, whoever, it's usually the Department of Agriculture in these states, you know, that are dealing with this stuff. So we will communicate, you know, whatever rules they have or whatever they, you know, whatever they're trying to get across to the public. This is just another opportunity for us to like help them and support what they're already trying to get across. What we do is some of the states are partnered with Firewood Scout. And so that is a website that does actually show every like vendor that signed up to be on that site. Not every state has it. I believe Wisconsin does, for instance, but Ohio does not. And so, you know, that is a place where if you do have a participating state and you are a firewood vendor, you know, you definitely want to get on there, figure out how you can get on there, because that is a website that people will go like, okay, where can I actually find firewood local to where I'm going to be burning it? But they don't, like I said, not every state is participating with them, but the states it is, you know, we also have that link. So any tool, any outreach item, you know, anything to do with firewood and the forest pests that use firewood to travel, that information will be on there.
Yeah. So I want to apologize, Laurel. It is don'tmovefirewood.org is the website. Yeah. And I'm serious. I didn't know. I learned a lot about Ohio, and I've always taken pride in learning about the rules and regulations, you know, about firewood. And I learned something else when I got on there about, you know, the quarantine. I'm actually in one, which I didn't know. you know, while we were, the whole state was under the Emerald Ash Borer, but I think Ohio just eventually gave up on it. But now it's the gypsy moth is the quarantine right now. So, but I am able to move within counties that are within that quarantine, but I can't leave it, which doesn't affect me because my delivery service only covers the two.
Yeah. So that's sort of kind of like figuring out the fine print, especially if you are, you know, someone who's moving around firewood as part of your livelihood. It's just finding out, okay, what are the regulations? And is it a federal quarantine? Is it a state quarantine? Is it both? Sometimes it's both, you know, and if you do plan to move that firewood out, just talking to those folks and figuring out a treatment, you know, option and being able to move it further. But again, like even our message, you know, trying to keep people to keep that firewood local, buy local, burn it where you buy it, sure, buy where you burn it, all those fun sayings. Yeah. That's again going to help like those small businesses who can't afford getting that treatment services, because, you know, people are going to be looking right where they live and right where their camp is to get that.
And that is a positive message for Don't Move Firewood. You are not saying don't buy firewood and don't use it. You know, use electricity. You're saying buy local. Don't travel with your firewood in your camper.
Exactly. No, I could not imagine going camping and not having a good campfire to roast my marshmallows with. That's part of the whole experience, right?
Exactly.
Right.
How big of an organization is this, and like how many people are involved with this, and just maybe give us a little bit about like your background of how you got into this, actually.
Sure. So the Nature Conservancy is a rather large global nonprofit. I think we have close to 5,000 employees, or maybe even more at this point. but the North America region is what I work for. And then for our particular campaign, which is the focus of my job, Don't Move Firewood, it is two of us. It is my supervisor and myself. Yeah, wow. So my supervisor is Lee Greenwood, and she has been on since the start of this campaign. I think it's about 16 years ago now is when we started this. And I was hired on about 3 years ago, originally as just like a temporary worker, just trying to help with our firewood map, actually. And it's something we try to update every year, as these regulations are constantly changing. Pests are constantly moving around and becoming a problem in a new area, this and that. And she just did not have the bandwidth at that time to do that herself. She's got a lot of other projects. Don't Move Firewood is just one of the things she works on. So she hired me on temporarily, and I was right out of grad school. My background is actually more in wildlife. So I got a degree. I was in wildlife and fisheries biology from Clemson, a master's degree. And my supervisor at the time in grad school was working with Lee on a project trying to figure out basically how people were reacting to the campaign, you know, what they knew, what they didn't know after over 10 years of the campaign. You know, they kind of wanted to see where they were at with things. And also just we're always trying to find out, you know, the best outreach strategies, again, to like not scare people off, not get people disheartened with, you know, all the problems we're facing or the regulations, everything else. But again, just try to empower them and have people realize, you know, what's at stake, and then the simple things they can do. And so that was a paper she was working on with Lee. And then Lee was, you know, just looking for a few people to help her out. And that's how I got in. So it has nothing to do really with my background. I will say there is a little bit of overlap, because in grad school, I was doing the human dimensions of wildlife. So I was studying hunters, actually, turkey hunters down in South Carolina, as well as fishermen, people using different types of live bait down there. And so it overlapped a little bit, especially with invasive species. You know, I think if, you know, I don't know if you guys fish or anything, but another way that invasive species can travel is when you have live bait and you use it one area, and then you're like, I'm just going to dump it out over here, let these little guys go. And that can be a really big problem, you know, not only for invasive species, but also the diseases and stuff they carry, and that can spread to the native fish populations and everything. So that's kind of what I was working on down there. And then I just hopped on thinking it was going to be a 3-month gig. And then I thought it was fascinating stuff. And, you know, I got along really well with my supervisor, and we just had more and more work. And so I just kind of stayed on now, and it'll be 3 years in May. And it's a wonderful organization. You know, everybody that I know and have met that works for the Nature Conservancy is really here because they genuinely, you know, give a darn about wildlife and people and the environment, and just trying to live in a sustainable way, really.
Yeah. What is the tactics that your organization uses? Is it just mostly based on, I guess, you know, education outreach through the website, or do you like go out to trade shows or set up a booth and pass out literature?
I have done that. So because I work entirely remotely, because I work for the North America region, pretty much all of us since COVID, you know, work at least partly remotely. A lot of us work completely remotely. And so I definitely get out there sometimes if I know that there's like an invasive species expo or something within reasonable driving distance of where I live. You know, I'll be like, Lee, I gotta get out of the house. Yeah, I gotta go speak to some humans, you know, hand out some stickers, some temporary tattoos, whatever it is. Like, I just need some human interaction, and she'll let me do that, which is pretty awesome. But also a big part of my work is actually working with our estate partners and other people, you know, working on invasive species and kind of the professional realm. And so some things I've done is, you know, I've written reports about all of the different regulations across the United States that have to do with firewood. That's not something that was conglomerated in any way before I started working. And so, you know, as much as it can be confusing for people, it can be confusing for, you know, the people in these agencies themselves. So I'm like, wait, what's Texas doing next to us? Like, wait, what's going on? You know, so part of my job is not only helping like people communicate about this from the public standpoint, but also the professional one. And so I'll go to meetings and I'll stand up there and I'll just show people. I'm like, here's what's going on in this region. You know, these are the people that have regulations. These are the people that don't. Here are the ones that are having good outreach on their sites. Here are the places where there's a lot of room for improvement. And then I will give them basically everything I can to make their job easy. And I'll just be like, here are all the websites you have in your state where someone could potentially be looking for information about whether they can bring their dog to this campsite. And they're not looking for firewood information because they don't know anything about this problem. So you need right. to have this information in XYZ places so that, you know, people can actually learn about this, because like we are only two people at this campaign. Like we only have this one website. So we need to be, you know, reaching across, networking from anybody who deals with forest health issues and communicate this problem. And so that it's really like a coordinated effort, you know, from all the people who do know about the problem to again spread awareness to those who don't. So
yeah
and I'm sure in the past 2 years you've probably seen the dramatic increase in firewood sales ever since Joe and I started our YouTube channels.
Yes. Yep. You guys have been such a big part of my work. Yes.
I knew we would change the world one day, Dan.
There you go. That's right.
No,
all right,
but well, honestly, Laura- I just like to say it really inspires me, you know, that you guys are out here and talking about this, because I don't get to talk to, you know, people who are dealing with firewood as part of their livelihood near as much as I would like to, you know, and to get your perspective on things. And that's why I was so excited to talk to you guys about today, because I was like, I know I'm going to learn something too. You know, I as soon as I heard from you guys, I looked into some of your YouTube videos, and I never knew you could get so detailed about wood burners and the trailers and everything, the hydraulic system that moves them up and down. And I was like, wow, this is as detailed as it gets. Yeah. And I was like, so excited to nerd out with you guys. So.
Real good. All right. Well, Laura, we've held you here for a pretty long time, and I know you have a full plate, and we want to let you go. However, we have rules around here, don't we, Dan?
Yes, we do. We have a little thing we need to do before you leave. It's a little game.
This is a tradition that we play with anyone who sits in the hot seat here at the Woodhounds. This is known as the woodhounding session of this episode. So we are going to pepper you with random questions, and they all require just a short answer. And you have to answer all of these questions within the allotted time, or you will suffer a significant woodhound penalty.
All right.
Rapid fire. As quick as you can answer. The quicker you can answer, the better.
Laurel, are you up for this challenge?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well,
all right.
If you're ready, I will start the clock and I will ask you the first question. Okay. All right. Here we go. What car did you take your driver's test in?
A Saturn SL1 manual.
What is your favorite chainsaw?
That'd probably have to be my Dilmore 7900 with an HD filter kit. But when that's out of gas, it'd be my Steel 500i.
Yeah. Easily. What is your favorite fast food restaurant?
Probably Chick-fil-A.
Where is your dream vacation?
My dream vacation would be a lake house in the mountains, anywhere beautiful.
Do you believe in UFOs?
I've seen one, so yes.
What is your favorite rock band?
My favorite rock band? Oh, man. I don't have a favorite. I'm going to go Dr. Dog.
All right. What is your favorite firewood species?
Favorite firewood species, cherry.
Excellent. Would you rather go to a truck pool or a symphony orchestra?
Truck pool.
Who is your favorite historical figure?
My favorite historical figure, Andre the Giant.
Yes.
Professional wrestler. Oh, gosh. And what is your favorite sports team?
My favorite sports team? I just don't have one. I'll have to say the Phillies.
All right. There you go.
Very good. All right. Laurel, I was a little worried about you until you threw out Domar 7900 with an HD filter.
Well, I'm thinking now we got to have her back to talk more about this Andre the Giant. That is a great answer.
Have you guys seen the documentary on him?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yep.
I just wish I could have met him.
You may not have known this, Laurel, but Dan is a retired professional wrestler.
Yeah. Way back in the day, I used to battle in the squared circle.
Yeah. Don't let that blank stare on his face fool you.
I just figured you were a Star Wars geek. I see all those figures, you got. That's awesome.
Well, Laurel, thank you very much for coming on the Woodhounds here. It has been great learning about all of the Don't Move Firewood campaign and just having you be part of the show.
Thank you. Yeah, I really appreciate it.
Yeah, Laurel, I am very impressed. You are the source for this type of information. And I would hope that we could reach out to you again if we ever run into some questions that we need answers to.
Absolutely. I would love that. You know, and anybody, you know, I don't know if you want to give my email, I'd be happy to give that out as well, because sometimes we get questions, you know, hey, I'm in this state, like, would it be okay if I do X, Y, and Z? And so we have all that information on our website, but at the same time, sometimes people just want to ask the question and not have to read through stuff. And I have no problem, you know, talking to folks about their options. So I'd be happy to do that.
Dan, we could probably put that in the podcast notes then.
Yes, we can. Otherwise, if you want to say it right now, go ahead.
So it's my name, laurel.downs@tnc.org.
Excellent.
Okay. Yeah, and we'll put a link to your website, don'tmovefirewood.org. And we just want to thank you again for sitting with us and talking to our listeners and educating us all on the importance of limiting the spread of invasive species through firewood.
Thank you guys so much. I really, really appreciate it. And I had a great time talking with you today.
All righty. Well, Dan, I think maybe it's time we strike up the band.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in. We'll see you back here 5 a.m. Wednesday.
And thank you, everyone, for allowing us to come into your day and making the Woodhounds the number one firewood podcast in the world. And with that, Dan, I'm going to tell you to stay
safe
and be
cool.
And Laurel, have
a great day.